Come on. Wow. Why don't we give the worship band a hand? As I've been writing this sermon the last 2 weeks, that song they were just singing is what I have been listening to every single day. So I think God's going to do something tonight. So I'm excited to be back in my second favorite country. I've been coming to Holland for 10 years now, or the Netherlands, I should say, for 10 years. And my Dutch is still just as bad now as what it was 10 years ago. I do this every time, but Goede avond, Carrick. That's it. I'm still working on my pronunciations, so bear with me. But I'm excited to be in church this evening, and I see this church, the VBG, has a special place in my heart. I've been good friends with Mark Storvokel. Hey, come on, you know who I'm talking about. For 10 years now, and he's an incredible man of God, one of the finest youth pastors I have ever met, and I mean that. And he loves you guys, he does a great job. And so, you know, I often travel with someone, and a friend of mine is here. His name is Mike. He's somewhere in the building. And as much as I love Mike, my best travel partner is my wife. Come on now, come on now. However, she is at home looking after our baby girl. Now, for some of you who know my story, it's a little bit dark, but when I was here last time, I had shared a story with you how my wife and I sadly lost our first baby at 9 months there, and it's been a very difficult period, but God blessed us with a second child, our baby Lila. And so, if you've never seen a miracle, you have now. You have now. Now, because I travel a lot, I am fortunate enough to go all over the world preaching the gospel. Well, I thought it was important to invest into some security at home. I need my girls to be safe when I'm on the road. So I wanted to put my money into something that was ferocious, something fierce, something menacing. So we bought Leo the lion. There he is. Come on now. Hey, he's tougher than he looks. You don't want to mess with him. That's his favorite vest. He thinks he's Superman. You know, I never wanted a cat, but my wife made me get it. But I love him now. I love him now. Anyway, enough about Leo. Let me pray and then we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing here in the VBG. I thank you for what you're doing here in Kingdom Culture. And Holy Spirit, I ask you tonight that you will move in this place. Lord, that every word that goes forth, I pray, will penetrate people's hearts. I ask that you will help people, heal people, restore people, set people free tonight. We thank you that you are a good God. You are a loving God. You are the God of the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chance. And I pray tonight that you have your way in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. It really is my favorite Dutch word, Jesus. Jesus Christus. I want to talk to you tonight about sex and relationships. That's right. Sex and relationship. You should see what I can see. Some of your faces right now are like, did he just say sex in church? Yes, I did. Because I want you to know that from the start of my message this evening, that God is not ashamed or embarrassed about sex. In fact, someone gave me a good amen there. Come on. I know. Come on, brother. I'll just preach to you all night. That's good stuff. God invented sex. In fact, God has a better plan for your sex life than the devil does. He does. However, it is for those who get married. And I'm going to talk a bit more about that as we go on. So the title of my message is this, if you're taking notes in English or Dutch. The Naked Truth. You can hashtag that. That's mine, you know. The Naked Truth. We live in a world today that is full of sex and lust. Turn on the TV and it's there. Open your laptop and it's there. Get out your phone and it's there. What perhaps started out as an innocent look on a dating website has now become a highway that you drive down to pick up who you want and when you want them. There are websites you can join and apps you can download that encourage you to hook up with someone for the night and then move on to someone else. Now, I'm not saying all internet dating or matchmaking sites are bad. I'm sure there's some good ones out there. But there are many that exist these days to give you instant gratification just to fulfill your lustful desires. Now, the problem with that is that it does, and that sort of living, is that it does more damage than good. Now, people will hook up. Regardless of whether they have access to the internet or not. So we cannot blame the internet for everything. But it is shaping the culture of the world that we live in today. Our understanding, our actions, our decisions should not be based on what today's current trends are, on what everyone else is doing, what the latest download tells us to do. Our framework, our values, our lifestyle should be based upon the truth of God's word. And believe me, the Bible has a lot to say about this sort of stuff. So, before you switch off and start flicking through Instagram, dreaming about what you're going to eat for dinner tonight and where you're going to jet off on your next holiday, let me tell you something. God's guidance on sex and relationships are there to protect you. They are there to protect you. They are not there to prevent you from having fun. God is not out to stop you having a good time. The Bible has not been written to make you feel bad, sad, or very mad. It was written so that you can hear the heart of God to live the best life possible and soar to heights you never thought you could reach. Someone once told me that the Bible stands for this, you know, B-I-B-L-E. Best instructions before leaving earth. I like that. Yeah, you like that? This is what it is. This is your best instruction manual that is out there. It is there so you can get the best out of your life this side of heaven. So why do you get so annoyed with it when it gives you guidance and advice on sex? I don't walk into Praxis. Is that right? Or Gamma. I don't walk into one of your stores to buy a power drill, but I don't read the manual because it annoys me. That doesn't make sense. I need to read the manual so that I don't drill a hole in the wall or in my arm. The instruction manual is there so that you can do more good than damage. The instructions are here so that you get help, not are hindered. They are there to improve your experience, not cause injury. They have been written so you thrive and do not take a nosedive. Oh, come on, I'm just preaching English now. If God gave us sex, if sex is a gift from God, then surely we should look to Him and His instruction manual about how to get the best way, how to get the best out of it. Are you with me? Good. So let's take a look at what the Bible says about sex. Let's start at the beginning, in Genesis. And we read, day one, God created the world. He said, let there be light. And He separated light from darkness. He called it morning and night. Day two, God said, let there be space between the waters and the heavens. And He called it the sky. Day three, he said, let there be land. And the land was to produce vegetation and trees and seed bearing plants and things that grow. Day four, God created two great lights, the sun and the moon. And he said, let them serve as signs to mark seasons, days, and years. Day five, God created the creatures of the sea and every bird that flies in the expanse of the sky. Day six, God made wild animals, livestock, and creatures that crawl along the ground. God did all of that and said, it was good. It was good, baby. It was good. But he wasn't finished. On the sixth day, he made man. God said, let us make man in our image. And Adam was formed. And in Genesis chapter 2, we see Adam on his first assignment. And it was to name animals. Now, how cool would this have been? I mean, I just picture Adam. He's walking through the garden and he sees something swinging off the trees. He says, I'm going to call that one a monkey. That's a monkey. He walks across. He sees something moving in the bushes over here. It's quite big. It looks a little bit ugly. He says, I'm going to call this a hippo. A hippo. That's a hippopotamus. A hippopotamus. He looks up and he sees something with a very large neck. I mean, it is a long neck touching the sky. He says, that is a funny looking thing. I'm going to call that a giraffe. A giraffe. Now, as his eyes are looking to the sky, he sees something majestic, something beautiful that is soaring above the sky. He says, oh, I'm going to call that an eagle. That's an eagle. He then takes a trip down to the water. And by the side of the water, he sees something shaking. Come on now. Something wobbling. He says, I'm going to call that a jellyfish. That can be a jellyfish. But then something catches him in the corner of his eye. It is black and white and it's eating grass. And he says, I'm going to call that a coo. Ho! He didn't want to leave the Netherlands when he was creating the animals. You see, I picture Adam. He was laughing to himself. He was having such a good time all by himself. But God then said, it is not good for man to be alone. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. And he placed Adam into a deep sleep. When he awoke, he thought he was still having a dream because there before him was Eve. Ooh, Eve. He said, whoa. Whoa. He was mesmerized. He was captivated. He was numb. I mean, he had been admiring God's creation, but he had never seen something so beautiful as Eve. Thank you, God, he prayed. Adam was very happy. And Eve thought, he's pretty good too. He was naked. She was naked. They were naked. But the Bible says there was no shame. It was pure, innocent. It was a true picture of beauty. God had brought Adam, his bride, right there in the Garden of Eden. And the first marriage ceremony in human history takes place. Genesis 2:24 says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. A new family unit is established, an inseparable union where two people become one. You see, God wasn't shocked at what happened next. He wasn't shocked when they got their groove on. You know, when they had a bit of a love dance, they got a bit jiggy with it. God wasn't shocked in that moment. Why? Because he invented it. He invented it. He wasn't offended because it was done in purity. You see, friend, God is not against you having sex. The problem comes when sex has you. When the sex has you, when you are driven by your fleshly desires, when you act on your impulses, when you do whatever you feel, when you give into temptation. You know, temptation isn't a sin. The Bible says that that Jesus was tempted, and we know that Jesus had no sin. The sin comes about when you act on that temptation, when you entertain the thought of temptation, when it leads you down a path that you do not need to be walking down. So tonight, if you are feeling tempted about things, do not beat yourself up. Do not beat yourself up. We all face temptation, but it is how you deal with it that makes the difference. Sex is a gift from God. And that is why we must look to Him and His Word to get the best out of it. Sex was designed to be powerful, pleasing, and pleasurable. But the Bible says, if you want to get the best out of it, it takes place in the union of marriage. If you take it outside of that arena, then you're going to hurt yourself and perhaps someone else too. Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Oh, don't be nervous. Come on now. Turn to your least favorite neighbor and say, he's talking to you too. Okay, come back to me. Come back here. Come. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, Luke, it's just sex. It's just sex. What's the big deal? It's just biological. It's a bit of fun. We are both consenting adults. Surely there's no harm in that. Well, friend, let me tell you, sex is more than just a physical act. 1 Corinthians 6:16 says that there is more to sex than just skin on skin. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, that leaves us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex where you can never become one. Oh, how true that is. You know, when you have sex with someone, you are mingling your soul with someone else's soul. It is not just physical. It is deeper than that. Sex involves your heart, your soul, and your mind. That is why it was designed to be exclusive between you and one other person. It is a place where you can be naked and vulnerable with one person. It is an expression of love that is to be demonstrated in marriage. Now perhaps some of you are going, well, Luke, love hasn't been modeled to you in a good way, and your boundaries are all over the place. Perhaps this is the first time you've ever heard someone speak a message about love and sex. Well, let me tell you, love is more than just physical attraction or an emotional feeling, although those do have their place. True love is an act of will. True love doesn't demand, it gives. True love doesn't ask, what can I get out of this person? How can I use this person? How can this person satisfy me? No, true love asks, how can I help this person? How can I help this person? You see, true love is not self-centered. It is self-giving. So if your boyfriend is telling you he loves you, but cannot wait for marriage to have sex with you, then I would question his love for you. I would question his love for you. Don't give in to his requests. If he truly loves you, if he truly respects you, then he will honor your intentions to wait until you get married. If he doesn't, you may want to say, adios, amigos. Adios, amigos. Talking of boyfriends and girlfriends, be bold. Are there any single people in here? Now give me a wave if you're single so I can see who I'm talking to. Now, okay, now keep those hands raised. Okay. Now if you are single, take a good look around at all the other singles. Some of you are really desperate. You're still going. Come on, look at me. Look at me. You will thank me when I come back here next year. You say, Luke, that night something happened. Something happened. I promise you, I'm helping you. Okay, come back now. Come on, just relax. Relax a minute. Single people, you are in a great season of your life. A great, there are a few amens, come on. You are. Don't play the field. Don't play the field. Don't waste your time chasing every boy that smiles at you or every girl that flutters her eyelids at you. Don't spend energy getting frustrated about when am I going to meet the one? When am I going to meet the one? When am I going to meet the one? You're in a season of life right now where you have more time and resource than you will ever have. Stay focused on God. The closer you get to God, the more Christ-like you become. The more Christ-like you become, the more attractive you are, the more ready you are when the person that you are about to meet comes along. I wish I could say that in Dutch so you could understand me. Now, I appreciate that being single can be difficult. Especially when your friends are coupled up and they're, you know, putting their pictures of the children on social media. But let me just encourage some of my single sisters in here tonight. You see, while you have been growing up, practicing and preparing for the perfect relationship by watching Disney movies and reading love novels and dreaming of the dress you want and the first dance and where you're going to jet off to on your honeymoon, the men in here have been doing the complete opposite. We have been playing computer games and watching the football and dreaming of what car that we are going to drive. So let me tell you, us men are a little bit slower at catching on to things. However, I have to tell my single brothers in here tonight that some of you just need to be a little bit bolder. You need to be a bit more courageous. It's all good to pray for the dream woman, but God gave you a mouth. And he gave you a mouth so that you could speak to that woman and ask her out for dinner. Can I have an amen? Come on now. Come on now. Mark told me on the phone, he said, Luke, just go there. Just go there. Just give it to them. Single people, run your race. Don't look at other people's lane. Stop comparing their highlights on Instagram and Facebook. They only show you the best bits. I never post a picture of me with my daughter at 3 a.m. in the morning. It's not my best bit. Pursue God. Get out of you what God has put in you. Live a holy life the best way you know how. It will be worth it. Now, just let me, while we're talking to my single friends, and you're all my friends, I have a big heart. I love you all. People often ask me, Luke, how do you know if he or she is the one? How do you know, Luke? And if you're taking notes, write this down. These are the three questions that I have told many single people to ask when they enter into a relationship. The first is this, ask yourself, do they love God? The second thing, is there a peace in your heart? And the third thing, is there an ease when you are in each other's company? It should be easy. It should be easy. Peace and ease are the measuring stick as to how far your relationship is going to go. If one of those is out of sync, then I doubt it's going to go too far. Now, let me also say, for those of you who are waiting to have sex, you're keeping yourself for marriage. I commend you. I commend you. I admire you. And I cheer you on. Don't you settle for average. Don't settle for less. Be patient. As hard as it is, be patient. Who cares if people laugh at you? Who cares if people tease you and mock you? You are not alive to please people. You are alive to please God and live the life that He has called you to live. You are valuable to God. Your body is valuable. That is why he took 9 months to form you and make you inside of your mother's womb. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God lives in you. That is why you must look after it. Don't give yourself away. Don't give yourself away. Wait. It will be worth the wait. Now, sex is a gift. Who likes gifts? Come on now. All right. Imagine it's your birthday. But your birthday's a week away. But someone's given you the present early. And it's sitting next to your bed. You've got to wait a week. But it's looking at you in the eyes. You're desperate to see what's there. And so on Monday, you just tear a little bit off, you know. Just a little bit. I still can't see anything, you know. Next day comes around Tuesday. Just a little bit more. Wednesday comes round. I think I might know where I'm going here. Thursday comes. You get all the way to your birthday. The present. You know what it is. You spoiled the surprise. Why? Because you couldn't wait. It's the same with sex. Every time you have sex with someone, you give a piece of yourself away. Because you couldn't wait. And here's the one thing I know about time. Time passes. Time passes. And if you can hang on in there, and if you can wait, then you will not spoil the surprise. Now I know there's people in here going, oh Luke, you don't know my story. It's too late for me. I've already messed up. There's no hope for me. Well, you're wrong. There is hope for you. When you ask God to forgive you, he will wipe the slate clean and you can go again. His Bible tells me in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do you know, purify means to make clean, to be redeemed, to be free. And so every time you make a mistake, you go to God and you're genuine. God gives you a new gift. He wipes the slate clean. He brings out another present. But guess what? Here's the goodness of God that I cannot understand sometimes. You fall again. You mess up again. You do something you regret again. And you are genuinely sorry. And you repent. And you go to God again. And you say, God, I am sorry. And guess what God does? Because this is how good God is. He wipes the slate clean. And he gives you another chance to go again. And guess what? Oh, I want you to get this. I didn't come all the way from England just to have a bit of fun. You mess it up. And guess what? One more time. Come on, Bart. Give me that gift. He gives you another gift and you start again. That is how good my God is. Do any of you believe it with me tonight? Is he a good God? No matter how many times you mess up, how many times you make mistakes, no matter how damaged your past, how many times you keep slipping up, God will forgive you. Why? Because nothing you do can separate you from the love of God. In fact, the Bible says every time you ask for his forgiveness, he will blot your sins out and remember them no more. Psalm 103 says that he has removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. He will forgive you. But, and sadly there is a but, these verses are not an excuse to play the grace card. Oh, Luke, I'm young, free, single, ready to mingle. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I'll do what I want now and God can forgive me later. You know what? God will forgive you. But do not get forgiveness and consequences mixed up. Don't get them mixed up. If you do things that are sinful and go against the will of God, then there will be consequences. And one of those consequences, and I could talk about many tonight, but one of them is guilt. Is guilt. Guilt comes about as an indication that you are not living as your best self. That those decisions you have made aren't really a true reflection of who you are. When you have done something you regret, it does not take long for the enemy to start filling your heart and your mind with guilt. There is a sick feeling that rises inside your stomach. The overwhelming emotion of remorse that replays itself over and over again, wishing you had never done that thing. You feel like a prisoner trapped inside your own body. Oh, it is painful to carry things that you are ashamed of. Oh, how I wish that I had never watched that pornography. Oh, how I wish I had never slept with that boy. Oh, how I wish I had never had sex with that girl. Guilt is a heavy burden to carry. It can come in like a flood. Like a tidal wave. And some of you tonight are carrying so much guilt that you have wept for weeks over your mistakes. You have had sleepless nights over your actions. You have questioned yourself repeatedly. What was I thinking when I did that? Guilt is a horrible thing to carry. The more you hold it, the worse it makes you feel. Guilt stops you advancing. It puts the brakes on the promises that God has just in store for your life. You see, if you keep a hold of guilt, if guilt comes on the inside of you, you will be like a sinking ship and it will pull you down and down and down and it will rob you of your confidence. It will stop you moving forward. How often when we feel guilty, the last thing we want to do is tell someone about it. Most people's first response with guilt is to hide it, to cover it up. Think about Adam and Eve in the garden. I was telling you, there they were living the dream, having a great time naming animals, watching the sunset, looking at the birds, hearing the noises and smelling the flowers. But then bam, they ate the forbidden fruit. They messed up. They realized they were naked. And so what was the first thing they did? They grabbed a fig leaf and, well, maybe more than one. And they covered themselves up. They wanted to hide themselves from God. You know, we're no different. When we do wrong, when we feel guilty over things we have done, we want to cover up our sin, cover up our shame, cover up our past, cover up our internet history. You see, guilt keeps you out of the presence of God. The last thing you want to do when you feel guilty is to talk to God, is to come to church, is to tell a friend. Why? Because we can feel dirty, we can feel ashamed, we can feel unworthy. But I have good news for you tonight, because guilt does not come from God. It is a lie from the devil. Oh, how God wants you to respond in a different way. This is what he wants you to do when you feel guilty. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. He says, approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. God doesn't want you to hide tonight. God wants you to take your baggage, your past, your shame, your guilt. He wants you to bring it into his presence with boldness. He wants you to lay it at the foot of his cross. Right there, he will forgive you. He will forgive you tonight. You deal with it tonight. You pick yourself up and you go again. You go after all that God has for you. You know, God knew that we weren't going to live perfect lives. God knew that we would make mistakes. That is why he sent his son Jesus to help us and his Holy Spirit to guide us. Thank you very much. I'm just warming up. Stop beating yourself up. Yes, you cannot change your past, but today you can own your present, which can transform your future. It will transform your future. For my Bible says, whom the Son sets free. Well, come on, now I feel like I'm in England. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. High five your neighbor and say, you can be free. Come on. You can be free. You can be free. You can be free. As I bring this, okay, that'll do. Enough high fives. As I bring this to a close, can I just invite the band to come forward? Do you know what? You can live a guilt-free life. God can forgive you and use you to do incredible things. If you don't believe me, let me tell you about the life of Samson. Wow, Samson, he was a man who had it all. He was anointed by God, chosen to lead God's people out of captivity. He was strong. He was a good-looking physical specimen, just like Mark Storvokel. He loves it when I use him, you know, in the sermon. He ripped apart a lion with his bare hands. The Bible even says he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Man, what a man. However, throughout his life, he continued to make mistake after mistake. He visited places he shouldn't have visited. He gave into temptation time and time again. He allowed lust to lead him down a path of destruction. He ended up having sex with the enemy, a girl called Delilah. And in that moment, he told her the secret of his great strength, that his hair on his head was not to be shaved, but she was the enemy. She did not have his intentions, his best intentions in her heart. And so she had his head shaved. His eyes were gouged out. He was chained up. He was mocked. He was treated like a circus animal. However, the Bible says, the hair on his head began to grow again. Oh, some of you got it. Some of you might get it tomorrow. The hair on his head began to grow again. And he did more damage in the very last day of his life to that Philistine army than he had done for his entire life. The greatest day of his life followed the darkest hours. That should give you hope. That should give every single one of you hope. God gave Samson another chance. Another chance. And tonight, God wants to give you another chance. Another chance. Decide today that you're going to walk in His forgiveness and His freedom, because Jesus Christ has already paid the price for you. There is no shame that He cannot take from you. There is no mistake that God cannot help you fix, for there is no condemnation in Christ. Oh, your greatest days are still ahead. You haven't written your best worship song yet. You haven't preached your best sermon. You haven't lived out the greatest days of your dreams. You haven't thought your wisest thoughts. There is more for your life. There is more, because I know that God hasn't finished with you yet. God hasn't finished with you yet. Now, I promise I'm bringing this to a close. I like to have two or three endings, you see. A few years ago, and this is the last story, I promise. A few years ago, I had a very nice car. It was a Volkswagen Golf. Come on now, come on. It was black. It was GTI. It had a sound system where I could listen to my favorite Dutch DJ, Tiesto. Or, what's his name? Armin van Buuren, is that the guy? I mean, I really was listening to Kingdom Culture worship music. That's what I meant to say. But one day I was going for a meeting in London, and I was struggling to find a parking space for my car. I finally found a space, but it was very close to a large river. I had parked there before and everything seemed to be okay. But there was a sign that said, drivers park here at their own risk. Meaning, perhaps it's not the best option. But I ignored the sign and I went to my meeting. A couple of hours later, when I was walking back to my car, I looked over and saw that the water in the river was a little bit higher than what it was a bit earlier. And my walking turned to running. By the time I got to my car was out of sight. It was too late. I couldn't even get close to my car because the water had come over the roof. It was in so deep that it was almost floating away. The damage had been done. My nice GTI was a write-off. It was finished. Why did it happen? How did it happen? What happened? I mean, everyone else had parked there. Everyone else had taken their car up that road. Everyone else had walked that path. And it seemed okay for them. But my car was destroyed because I did not follow the warning signs. And there were consequences to my actions. As I finish tonight, some of you are ignoring the warning signs. The water is rising. You are in too deep. And the current is taking you down a road that you never thought that you would have to walk down. It's time for you to get out. It's time for you to make a change. It's time for you to let go. It's time for you to surrender your whole life to Jesus Christ. Oh yes, you can live however you want to live. You can keep walking down that road. You can keep ignoring the warning signs. You can get as close to the edge as you want. You can live in a cycle of repeat, repent, repeat, repent, repeat, repent. And God will forgive you each time. But God wants to do more than just forgive you. He wants to do more than just forgive you. He would rather be blessing you than forgiving you. He would rather be showing you how to unlock your dreams, giving you the courage to build your business, developing the gifts and talents in you. He would rather be pouring His Holy Spirit upon you so that you could be the next history maker or the next world changer. Oh, can I have an amen if you believe it? God is not out to spoil your fun. He wants to see you thrive. If you feel like you are drowning tonight, if you feel like you are in too deep, it's not too late. It's not too late. Come on, band, come with me now. It is not too late. God still wants to use you. God can still save you. God has great plans for you. There is nothing that you have done that God cannot fix. God would rather have you in a mess than not have you at all. God can take your mess and turn it into a message. Why? Because He loves you. He was beaten for you. He was crucified for you. God died naked on a cross so that you could be clothed in His righteousness tonight. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. You can be free tonight. You can be free of your guilt. You can be free of your shame. You can be free of your addiction. God can restore you. God can redeem you. God can set you free. If you believe it, would you stand to your feet? Would you lift your hands high?